Wicked. Love that video so much. Every week it gets comments. It's amazing. It's really amazing. Hello everyone and welcome back to the Marketing Meetup. Or if you're here for the first time ever, welcome to the Marketing Meetup. It's wicked to see you here. Thank you so much for taking the time. In my eyes, today is going to be a success if we do three things together. Number one, you walk away from today's session having learned something new, having a different perspective on something you already knew or learned something new. Number two, the chat feature is alive with all of you listening, saying hello and being positively lovely, taking the time to look after each other. And, you know, just like actually using today's opportunity as an opportunity to meet one another and use it as a team effort to make today's webinar a real success. The way that you're going to do that is you're going to be taking the time to say hello right now. I can see that there's 29 open messages, 31 from Luxembourg, Dublin. Say where you're watching from already this morning. I'd love to hear where you are in the world. It's quite mad to think that we're already broadcasting from across the world from my little office in Little Downham in Cambridgeshire. And then the third way that this is going to be successful today is that you share the session. So you share it across LinkedIn, across Twitter, wherever it is. Really, the only way that the Marketing Meetup has ever grown is through word of mouth. And it's through the community looking after each other and saying that this is a place where people can come together, be safe, to share, to learn, to come together, to listen, to get better together. Tim Solo from Hrefs last week actually said that after our session that this community is bloody amazing, and I agree. And I think that the way that we show that we're bloody amazing is by sharing, and also by putting Leron's social media channel, specifically his LinkedIn, on absolute meltdown for the rest of the week. And I can see he's already smiling at that. So do take the time to say thank you to him after today's session as well. So I hope you're up for that challenge, and let's get on with today's session. So today I'm thrilled to be sharing your screen today with an incredible man and an incredible marketer, someone with one of the world's most impressive job titles that I'm aware of, the Senior Director of Global Brand Marketing and International Expansion at Fiverr, Leron Schmadjer. I came to know Leron after writing a song for him. I'm just going to leave that there for a second. And yeah, that's weird. It was a weird thing to do. But after that auspicious start, then Fiverr and Leron have become incredible supporters of the Marketing Meetup for almost the past 2 years now, I want to say. And one of the things that I've really appreciated is that I'm getting a consistent stream of ideas coming to me to say, what can we do to help the community? That speaks to the measure of Leron as a person that he's willing to give, but also the backing of Fiverr to say, you know what, we're going to support this community and we're going to help it grow and succeed. So I'm grateful for that. And they've been unreal supporters for all this time. Leron as a chap, he's a kind, thoughtful, supportive and shrewd marketer. But he's just fundamentally a good and thoughtful man. So I'm appreciative of him spending the time today. He's also someone who's been on a journey, and today we're going to hear a little bit about that journey and what that has taught him. The way that we're going to work that is that we're going to have a presentation and then a Q&A. So Leron and I were texting last night and we were saying that he's just like really keen to make this as useful as possible for the community. So the presentation has been geared up. He's been asking questions about what everyone wants and stuff like that. And we're going to need you to get the questions into the Q&A feature as well to actually say you know, the questions that you want answering. Before we finally get going, I just want to take a moment to thank our sponsors. So this week's feature sponsor is Fiverr, no surprises. And I've already spoken a little bit about them, and Leron will be as well. So I'm not going to go into a huge amount of depth there because I feel like we don't want to overload. But I think it's also really important to thank our other sponsors. So I want to thank Geosk, Impression, Content Cow, Pitch, Redgate, Cambridge Marketing College, Brand Recruitment, Gravity Global, and Third Light. Very simply, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So they really do deserve our thanks and our praise. And the way that you can do that is in the follow-up email. Just drop a quick thank you in the follow-up email. There'll be their LinkedIn profiles linked, and you can get in touch with the humans behind the brands just to know they're as appreciated as they are. So that's my introduction done. I just want to really, really encourage all of you to use that chat feature today to look after each other for the duration of the session. And Leron, it's over to you, my friend.
Thank you very much, Joe. That's very, very kind introduction. First of all, I have to just apologize to everyone because I'm calling you from a completely empty apartment. So the acoustics is not great. So if you're hearing a million echoes, hopefully it has double the impact. But apologies, I'm on some sort of construction site. It just seems like a lot of noise today. So apologies in advance for that. I'm going to be sharing a presentation, but let's keep this casual. As Joe said, let's talk as I talk, ask questions. Let's stop. We don't have to wait for questions at the end. If you want me to dive into things deeper, more than happy to do that. You know, I consider myself a part of this community, and I think I'm LinkedIn connected with most of you. But every Tuesday morning, I get a million different LinkedIn requests. So, being a part of the community, what I'm going to do today is share my story and the story of Fiverr Success, and pull some of the key lessons that I've learned from that and share it with you in the same way that, you know, I hope you're all sharing with each other, because that's where a lot of the lessons will come from. So let me share my screen quickly. And present. All right. Is that good, Joe? Can you
see? Yeah, we're all good.
Okay, great. So let's start with just the most obnoxious presentation title in existence. We're building a household name, and this is how. Really, as I was saying, this is our journey, right? And when Joe, we were talking about what I should be speaking about, you know, I haven't taken the moment to really retrospect on my career and Fiverr's growth and think about what are these kind of key milestones that helped grow Fiverr and put it down. And so this was a nice trip down memory lane for me to kind of understand where these tipping points happened that were pivotal in our growth. So quick question to everyone. You can answer in the chat. Yay if you know what Fiverr is. Nay if you don't. Super yay if you've used Fiverr. And leave it at that. Great. You can put some. Okay. I saw a note, but I went fast. Great. Thank you, everyone. And thank you, Kelsey, for a super duper yay. That's great. Okay, so Fiverr, very quickly, it's an online marketing platform for freelancers. On one side you have businesses, other side you have freelancers, and we are the platform that connects the two and enables these transactions, right? Now, I can dive deeper into it, but it almost doesn't matter what Fiverr is for the sake of this conversation, right? What matters is how did we become an $8 billion company in 10 years, right? And that's what we're going to talk about. So thinking back, I've divided Fiverr's growth into three key stages, right? The viral age, the conversion age, and the branding age. Now, this is a sign of non-efficient marketing, right? You should have all your stages at once. You should be working with a great marketing mix, be focused on your prize. But, you know, I was a brand new marketer at the time. I was Fiverr's first non-digital marketer. And, you know, they were in my hands, unfortunately, because I was learning at the same time as Fiverr was growing, right? But it meant that we went on this journey together. So let's start and talk about the viral age, which is when we began, right? It's Fiverr's first website, what it looked like. And the premise was very simple. What will you do for $5? That was the question, right? And when you signed up, You put yourself into that scenario. I will X for $5, right? Now, this is a gimmick if I've ever seen a gimmick, right? And let's just look at two of the examples that I had on my records, which was, I will drink lots of water on camera, I will sing depressing happy birthday song. But these are people from around the world that will do random stuff for $5 and they were making money, okay? Now you can see maybe where I'm going with this, which is tip number one or lesson number one, what is your hook, right? And to speak about this in more professional terms, position, right? How do you position yourself in a way that you stand out from the crowd? I want to take a little detour on this presentation, and let's talk about positioning a little bit, right? Now, the way that I look at positioning is with three elements. You look at your business and what you offer, which I'll get to later. You look at your customers, which I'll get to later. And you look at your competitors, right? What are your competitors doing? How can you stand out from them or be better than them, right? So what are you doing that's different, or what are you doing that's better than them? So let's take this detour, bear with me. We're gonna take a very like juvenile example here, but it can apply to everything that you do. If you're working for a SaaS company, if you have a small startup, that service provider, if you're a consultant, it doesn't matter. The same thing applies to you, right? How are you gonna stand out and position yourself? So let's take a very, very simple example here. Water bottles, right? And I did this exercise myself, and I did it very ignorant about the world of water bottles, but I wanna take you through a very quick process using tools that all of you know and use, right? So let's say I wanna sell water bottles, and I have aluminium, plastic, glass, and filter water bottles, which I didn't know was a thing until I put this together. Okay, so it's kind of cool. I'm gonna order one now. But anyway, how do I know where to start? Sounds dangerous. I put all of them into Google Trends, right? A tool probably we've all used looks at the trends on Google searches. And I can see clearly that Google water bottle, glass water bottles were trending higher than all of the rest. So immediately I'm gonna select glass water bottles, right? So I go from I'm selling water bottles to I'm selling glass water bottles, right? Next up, I look at reviews, wherever I will find reviews. So in this case, I've looked at Amazon, but you can look at Yelp, Trustpilot, wherever it is that people are leaving reviews for your industry. Look there and look at what people love and what people don't love. And in this particular case, I found a lot of conversation around how people hate glass water bottles because they leak a lot and they're difficult to clean. Now, I don't have much experience with that, but immediately you know where you're going to focus yourself to stand out from the competition or to be better than the competition. You want your messaging to be around high quality seal, easy to use, right? So already you're starting to position the product, right? If you see where I'm going here. Next up, I went to Reddit, the front page of the internet, and I looked up water bottles, and you can find everything on Reddit. And I found a lot of conversation with water bottles about sizes, what people want and what people don't want. And the biggest sizes were 1.5 liters and 750 milliliters. And in a few minutes, taking one product, I've able to almost build the beginning of a positioning statement on how I can be different and stand out from my competitors, right? Through the sizes that I offer, the features, I've immediately set myself to what people are looking for that's important and what other competitors aren't doing. You can do this in any other way. So that's a quick detour. Other tools that I've used is a tool called Glimpse, which I really recommend. It costs money, but they are free. I think you can get some for free monthly. And this is like a really advanced algorithm that shows you what is trending before the rest of the world knows it's trending. And this is just great to stay on top of trends. Product Hunt, you should be spending hours on Product Hunt looking at your services and seeing what other people are doing and understanding how you can be better or different. So keep that in mind. No matter if you work at a big corporation or startup, or you're a consultant, it doesn't really matter. And then Google Alerts, which is like, you know, the most sort of basic tool, but, you know, keep up to date with what your competitors are doing, what people are searching on Google, so you know that you're always being better and different, right? And you can pivot. And last little tip is this cute little tool called FAQ Fox, where you'll put a keywords in. So here I put glass water bottles, click search, and it searches the internet for questions that people are asking on the FAQ pages of websites about the specific keyword. So here I put glass water bottles, and at the bottom of like the best travel water bottles. So immediately, okay, people are asking for travel water bottles. So it can go into my positioning, right? Easy to clean, seal, fits in a bag easily, right? So this is sort of a very quick methodology. And I have tons of these kind of tools, and I put them up on my LinkedIn page if you want to check out in the past. So let's go back into the presentation. And let's talk about virality. We were saying that Fiverr started with this very sort of gimmicky idea, but that was our hook. That's what stood us apart, right? There were other marketplaces for freelancers in the past. Our business model was to base ourselves off an e-commerce model. So instead of freelancers bidding or people answering briefs and then negotiating, we decided to eliminate negotiating. Freelancers list what they do, buyers come and immediately come and order, and it worked. This gimmick worked, right? We were picked up by the Wall Street Journal, as you can see in this Google Analytics page, and we went from, you know, almost nothing to 2 million page visits overnight. And from there, it snowballed, right? And even an Australian hamburger chain called Hungry Jack's created the entire TV commercial based off of the Wall Street Journal article exposure and sort of just examples of how it snowboarded. I won't play it for you now, but tip number two, milk every opportunity, right? And this isn't meant to sound exploitative. It's really supposed to say, you get this opportunity on Wall Street Journal, we use that to get other morning shows and to get other press, and we put it everywhere, and we use it to get bigger partners, and everyone gets these little wins. Make sure that you're milking your little win for everything that you can, right? If you feature it in an article, put it out on social, put it out on LinkedIn, use it as the way you reach out to people. It builds trust, it validates what you're doing. So tip number two. All right, another very interesting thing about the viral age is that we spent almost no money on performance marketing, right? We relied on our sort of network effect. And what we were looking at is our community, buyers and sellers, two different sides of the marketplace, businesses and freelancers, or buyers and freelancers. And we were using them to bring their peers, right? And I'll tell you a bit later how we were doing that, but short answer, a lot of work. We were building our product around the idea of word of mouth, tip number three, right? And I know for Fiverr and freelancers, the number one way that people find their freelancers is through word of mouth. And I'm sure if you think about your industry and what you're doing, you can say the same for you, right? If you're a service provider, people want to hear from their colleagues that they trust, their peers, that you are good. And that will build the bridge of trust to use you. So how can you build word of mouth through your product? And for us, it was referral programs, it was affiliate programs. The more we can get people to refer other people and incentivize that through the product and through the customer journey, that was how we grew initially, right? So think about that, I guess. And like, I love brainstorming this. If you ever want to, like, hit me up on LinkedIn and we can talk a bit about it, because this is going to be your cheapest form of growth initially. Last tip for the stage, run like a hamster, right? We kept saying we were on hamster wheels, just running, running, running. We would go to colleges in the US. And sorry, I forgot to say this, but I started at Fiverr 9 years ago. We were in one room. Now we have offices around the world, and I should have set this up with this, but this is the, why I'm bringing you this insight, right? And when we started, we were literally hustling day and night, right? Speaking at colleges in the UK, art colleges, trying to get designers to come on. And we would do this in small regions. So we would build this word of mouth, right? If you speak in two colleges in the same region, you start in the art programs, you start to really like connect people. And we would have full houses of students that were renting that would all sell on Fiverr. And so the community was starting in these hubs quite organically from a freelance perspective. Okay, so that's sort of our viral stage. We're next going to talk about a conversion age. Now, you can't rely on organic growth forever, right? You have to, I see this reference to chat, so I'm just going to read one. Samantha, with referral programs, what have you found works best? Rewarding the referrer, the person being referred, or something else entirely? Yes, all of those. You got to reward the referrer and the person being referred. You don't have to build this from scratch. There's tons of like plug and play tools for this. I can share some of them. I can put that on my LinkedIn also. I think it's about giving, right? You asking for a referral and you have to give something back in return. That goes with everything. It goes with the content that you create. Like when you're asking for something, you have to give back. So yeah, I'll share those referral tools. They start from like $20 a month. Some of them depends on how many referrals is coming. So it's quite affordable. Okay, conversion age. We had to start working on our. And Joe, if you want to just pop questions in, you just tell me. And let's see another one here. How do you know an opportunity is a genuine opportunity when you're not risking your business or money? Not sure what that's in reference to. Is something that I said?
I think that was about milking the opportunities.
Honestly, milk every opportunity, and that's how you're going to know. I'm not saying go down roads, like invest in going down roads where that could lead to, I don't know, being scammed or going nowhere or whatever. I'm just saying take advantage. Even when I look now, like every conference that we've sponsored or event that I've spoken at or TV ad that we've run have led to something bigger, right? And I'm going to talk about this a bit later, but I hope that answered your question. So let's jump back into our journey and talk about the conversion age, right? We needed to start putting money in and starting to market. Who are we going to market to? I mean, we knew businesses were buying and they were in the majority, but we had this website that was built to, let's be honest, be a little bit bizarre, right? So this was our first ever ad that we created, and this was pivotal for us because we decided we are going to speak to small, medium businesses, right? And that's a big thing. And I can't believe we haven't said that to ourselves before, even though 80% of our audience, and this is sort of what I mean when I meant like, you know, as I grew, we grew with Fiverr. I mean, you know, more accomplished marketer would have come in and done segmentation before on the first month before you sort of even start, but we didn't, right? And this is where we were at. So you got to do with what you know. And we built this. Now, this was pivotal because we're changing our messaging, right? And this is sort of a lesson for everyone. You can't go out and target small, medium businesses and say, "What I will do whatever for $5, right? It doesn't exactly scream trust and quality. And you have to know what your audience is looking for. So, by the way, Claire, I'm reading, does anyone ever feel qualified or experienced enough in the job they're doing? No, they don't. I never have, and it doesn't stop me from keep moving forward. I'm going to play this commercial with you. I hope you can hear it. I don't know what we were thinking, to be honest. It's not a bad commercial, but you'll see how we solve this answer from like, I will X for $5, right? So check this out. I hope you can hear it. Otherwise, I'll just have to tell you. I'm going to keep it small.
What does your business need?
We needed a custom logo, and we found it on Fiverr for just $5.
I needed to drive traffic to my website. Now, I can't keep up with the orders.
Give your business the boost it needs. At Fiverr.com, you'll find exactly what you're looking for, all starting at just $5.
We need a press release for our new game, Fast. We found it on Fiverr.
Join the millions of successful people that are using Fiverr to get things done. Sign up today for free at Fiverr.com.
So first of all, I mean, how American do you get? No offense, but I mean, that is where we were marketing, right? So at least we knew our audience, but we thought we were groundbreakers, going from our X for $5 to starting from $5, right? We thought we've cracked the code, right? This now builds trust and builds everything. But the truth is, we had a long way to go, but at least we started, and we started focusing on an audience, be it a very broad, not big enough, which we'll get to. So tip number five, be market-oriented, right? Once you have a business, or once you are an employee of a business, you have a bias and you are no longer the market. No matter how much you think you are the market, you are no longer the market, right? And so you have to do your research into your target audience to understand what they want to hear, what they want to see. And I'm showing this example. The commercial as sort of a way of saying we didn't really do that, right? I mean, we were starting to do it, and it was the beginning of using our own data also in effective ways. And as you start running ads, you should be learning from everything you do and putting it into everything else that you do, right? I'm going to talk about that a bit now. So this is just from a few weeks ago. We still A/B test everything to death, right? And I mean, it's a marketing group, I guess. I don't need to really explain what A/B testing is, but testing different things against each other so you can see what performs better, right? And so we have a category on Fiverr for 3D modeling. We tested on our different growth platforms, short copy versus long copy. We found short copy was best. We tested four different value propositions, affordability, quality, speed, and variety. Quality worked, right? So we have over 500 categories on Fiverr. We do this for every single category. And we know what type of copy, what value propositions, et cetera. And we apply it. So we learned this from our growth machine. We apply it into our brand messaging, into our product messaging. And you can learn different things from your different channels and different parts of the customer journey. And you should be continuously putting that back into your different journey. So, And this is sort of what we did. This was a landing page that we built when we started to take our audience and understand a bit more of what they wanted to hear about Fiverr. Affordable, fast, easy, right? Quick, one click to buy. And that's the messaging that we started to use. And talking about A/B testing, I mean, this, we really did A/B test everything to death. We still do, but we call this woman with glasses, and she was our number one converting landing page. We literally had every different gender, very diverse group of stock photos, clearly, and woman with glasses was like our number one converter at the time, which is just hysterical. I mean, we wouldn't use stock right now, not that there's anything wrong with it, but I'll talk a bit more about that coming up. I hope this is beneficial. Here's two tools for you. Unbounce is an A/B testing landing page tool, right? Oh, how long did the testing phase take? Sarah, we're still testing. There is no end, right? We literally changed a call to action button from green to orange, and revenue dropped 15% in a day. And we test everything all the time. Nothing is by mistake. And you know, if you have a Wix website, Squarespace website, you can do this, right? You can do this in a very sort of primitive way, but you can do it. You can change what's at the top of the fold, and you can change what the calls to actions are and what they say and what colors they are. And you should be always testing in your emails, right? Continuously test what works best. A/B test emails. If you have any emails system, you can A/B test subject lines or emails. You should be doing this. You should be taking your lessons. If you put it out there, product tests for us take about 4 to 6 weeks. Emails, it's immediate, right? You just have to wait a few days. These growth tests are very fast. And there's tools that we use also to test. I recently did a test around the world. Part of my function is global expansion. We have a library of photos, and we were testing if businesses trust the people in these photos, as in they would, you know, these were real freelancers. Do you trust this person? That was the question. And now we have 11 different countries, a whole library of who you trust and who you don't trust. And that's how we like build what images each market sets, right? Okay, so there's a lot here, but Unbounce is a great A/B testing drag and drop landing page tool. I recommend it. It's not free. Typeform is a good kind of survey tool. You know, you can use Google Forms. I think you have to pay for it. And there are free options like Google Forms, or I think even SurveyMonkey has some free options. But Typeform is just a bit more seamless and a better user experience that I really like. So, you know, if you want to survey your friends or your old clients and start to understand who your audience is and be market oriented, which was massive for us, do it. And then number six, core competence is important, right? And this goes back to positioning. If you remember, I spoke about three things of positioning. We spoke about your competitor. Now I'm talking about your business, your core competence, right? What do you do? Now, it's one thing for us to go out there and advertise and say, we're fast, we're easy to use, one click away. And then you land on that like crappy first version of our website, right? So we had to change our core competence and make sure that this is a site for businesses that businesses can trust. And that led us to V2 of the website, which looked like this, which felt just a little bit more. I mean, in the top, all of the sort of weird and bizarre, which was literally a category on our website, which is right at the top. It's now under more. We still had a way to go, but it's a better storytelling. And you have to make sure that you say something, whatever you say is reflected in the product. And this goes back to, I don't know, I think the most important brand lesson, it's not what you think you are, it's what they think you are. So you have to look at every bit of the customer journey and make sure that you're giving one cohesive messaging. Okay. Tip number seven, eye on the prize. You have your how cliche is this? I know, but you have your audience, right? Got to stay focused. We always wanted to try different things, or like we had these great gigs coming in, which is what we call a service that was just out there, and we knew it would like attract people, get on the news or something like that. But you had to stay focused. If you want to be a business, a platform for businesses, you have to focus on being that platform for businesses and not deviate from that, right? And I think there's always exceptions to this. In fact, some products that we launch now, we still don't have the pricing site yet, but that's deliberate, whereas this wasn't. That's launching a product without knowing your product market fit in order to find your product market fit. And that's a whole other presentation that maybe I can talk about another time. Okay, and then we go into like today's period, which is the branding. Now, we needed to get here, okay? And I'm sure you can all relate with this. You're not gonna go from spending on things that you know convert to spending on things that have these sort of loftier, softer goals, right? Awareness, right? Awareness isn't a dollar amount, but it's important, and I'm gonna show you why. Let's look at a few questions. Okay, how does Fiverr combat a race to the bottom in terms of pricing from a freelancer's point of view? Great question. So we actually, something that we're very proud of is that we aren't a website that is you need to negotiate or bid for. The freelancer comes and lists their services at the price that they're comfortable with, and that's done, right? So the buyers can look and see, is that something that they're comfortable with or not? So we cater for businesses of all sizes. You can buy a logo for $50 from a student at Leeds, first-year student at Leeds trying to build their portfolio, or you can buy a logo for $15,000 from Rob Janoff, the guy who designed the Apple logo, right? He's literally on the site selling logos, and everywhere in between. So it's value for money at every price point, and you're not going to get the same thing, right? You're not going to, you pay more, you're getting that experience, you pay less, you're getting that experience. So I hope that answered it. And let's just do one more. How long did you A/B test each screen web page for before deciding? I think currently it's several weeks. If it's on the product, you know, we really want to make sure that we get a significant data set, if that helps. And do you use heat mapping on the website? Yes, we do. We still do. I'll tell you right now about heat mapping. Look above everything that's important needs to go above the fold. Keep copy to the minimum. And people like videos, but it doesn't necessarily drive conversion on your product. I guess some quick things. Okay, let's talk about brand image. You know, we had this growth, but we knew we wanted to be an iconic brand, right? We really look up to Amazon. We follow a very similar growth trajectory to them in the way, in many ways, because they're a commerce site and we're a marketplace for freelancers that is positioned as services as a product. So we have similar growth trajectories. We wanted to become a global icon, and that's not an easy thing to do, right? And we're still trying to do that. But how do you do that? You have to stop talking about what you offer and start talking about stop talking about your product and start talking about what you bring to the world and what you stand for and what your ideology is and what your mission is. And you have to get people to understand who you are in addition to what you do, right? So we did a bunch of, and storytelling, yeah, great point. This is all storytelling, right? The best brands do the following five things. And I'm going to come back to this, right? But change our perception of the world, right? This is it. It's not about what you do. It's about what you offer. Aren't just differentiated. They make a difference. Don't just interrupt people. They involve people. Your community are exactly that, a community, right? Engage our emotions and make us feel and help people to help themselves. And we'll talk about this later, but just keep that in mind. So what did we do on this next stage? Finally, all these years in, we did segmentation and we did research, proper research. And it's not enough to just look at your total addressable market and segment. You have to then target. You have to look at who you're going to focus on, right? You have limited resources. You always will. So who is going to bring you the most revenue and who has the most potential? And for us, at that stage, it was small, medium businesses, 0 to 60 employees and decision makers, right? And that's still like our sort of core bucket. And we break it up based on behavior and attitude. And we understand a lot about the people, including the magazines that they read, as an example, right? But we really, really understand our audience. Usually it's 20% of your total addressable market that's responsible for 80% of your revenue. So I'm sure you can all sort of see those trends. We updated our mission, changing the way the world works together. What do we stand for? Right? What are we trying to do here? And it took us a long time. I'm sure a lot of you, especially like new startups, this is what you start with, right? But it took us a while to get there, but I'm happy to say we got there. And then we went out with a bold, iconic campaign. Now, we are a bold brand and we don't mind causing a bit of chaos. Right, it's what makes us different, and it's what we're passionate about. We like taking big risks. So this is our first campaign that we ever did, brand campaign across the US. And the idea was in doers we trust. We spoke to 1,000 buyers and sellers and looked at what they have in common. And what they had in common was that they were all action takers. Right, a lot of people just have ideas. You can see someone. Thinking big is still just thinking. Do first, ask forgiveness later, right? These are bold statements and they really went all the way and they probably don't sit well with a lot of people, but we looked at all the friction points of anyone going through a journey of growth and what will prevent them from doing that. And we talked to those friction points, right? So we celebrated the spirit of doing, right? And we had some funny things. Incubators are for chickens. No one ever said, just think it. We had this one, inherit your dad's work ethic, not his money. And we put it outside the Trump, this was before he was president, but we put it outside the Trump towers and it got like tweeted by a few celebrities and this one went a bit viral. And we had this campaign, which I'm not gonna share now, you can find it on YouTube. And not everyone liked it, right? This is on the subway. It didn't necessarily land. Now, just notice that we did a whole campaign and we haven't anywhere said that Fiverr is a marketplace for freelance services, right? In the bottom, we said freelance services on demand. But for here, it was really about putting our flag in the ground and saying what we stand for. And I don't want you to think that you can't do the same if you have smaller budgets, right? You can always do the same. This is, Claire was saying earlier, storytelling, right? This is your way of resonating with your audience. So here you see people saying, Fiverr race to the bottom. In fact, some images got tweeted out and got picked up by our friends at the New Yorker with this article that went viral saying the gig economy celebrates working yourself to death. And here was an image on the New York Times, which was you eat coffee for lunch, you follow through on your follow through, sleep deprivation is your drug of choice. You might be a doer, right? You can identify with this. You belong at Fiverr, right? And we're saying, you know, if you relate to the statement, you're one of us, right? You're someone that takes action. And then started the whole conversation where we had the Wall Street Journal answer and say, show me one Fortune 500 CEO that hasn't had to sacrifice on their personal life in order to build their business, right? And the whole conversation was work-life balance, but it was a very interesting campaign. In September, and we've done many since then, right? And some less polarizing than that, I would say. In 2020, recently, we evolved our brand, the brand refresh, right? Looking at how we can really speak to our audience. We have these new segments. We know what they want. We know our audience, right? So let's start building for them. And this is where you see your current current branding. I'm not going to show you this. Apparently, I am going to show you this. No. Okay. It's just all the things on YouTube. It's just our brand refresh. Maybe I'll rather want to save some time for questions. I'm almost at the end here. We did our It Starts Here campaign. This was during the lockdown. And this was when I'm going to pull this full circle, but how can you take your audience and really speak to them, right? We're talking about emotion and storytelling and resonating. We told a real story of real businesses that were going through changes during COVID. We had this incredible business with Slim and Husky. Again, I want to save time for questions, so I'm not going to play it, but company in Nashville that have pivoted to creating products, a pizza company that made sauces during COVID and how they grew and how they used Fiverr. And these are like real stories.
It's all about the movement for us.
And then we started making documentaries and telling these stories without any sort of purpose of growth, but really purpose of building out the story of who we are and what we stand for, right? And with every bit that we do, yes, we don't see immediate ROI, but this is long-term brick building that is building the foundation of an iconic brand, right? And we see long-term effects. We do see long-term effects. We see some short-term effects too, but the long-term effects are lower CPAs, right, in markets where we invest. And then finally, you know, this is like, you know, a lot of marketers' dreams. It definitely was mine, but we teased the world that we were going to do the Super Bowl, and then I'm not gonna play out. Oh, I guess I am. This is our teaser for the Super Bowl. And then we were at the Super Bowl, and yeah, you know, I'm not going to play our commercial, but this is Marie. This is the Four Seasons Total Landscaping. I don't know if you remember in the US when Trump had a press conference, they thought they booked, or allegedly thought they booked the Four Seasons Hotel, but actually ended up booking the Four Seasons Total Landscaping in Philly, some random landscaping. And then this woman, Marie, you see in the bottom left corner, she was shot to fame, and so was her company, and she took that opportunity and used it to like grow the company and do some incredible things. And we thought that represented our community more than anything else, more than any celebrity can. And this is an example of brand building versus the previous stage, which was our, you know, conversion stage. We had this global forum, right, the Super Bowl. And did you work with freelancers from your platform on the brand building activity? We always do. Yeah, even for I'm answering the question here. Do we work with our freelancers for brand building activities? Yes, all the time. Even for our Super Bowl commercial, we use an agency, but we use a lot of our freelancers to help build this also. You know, if you're telling a conversion story, you want to quickly get across what your platform is, right, and how everyone can use it, and spend 30 seconds, you know, it's a lot of money for 30 seconds doing that. But we wanted to tell a better story, right, at the cost of that, and at the cost of those conversions. And the story is, if you have an opportunity, you can grab it, and Fava's going to be your partner in doing that. And he has this extreme example of Marie, and that worked out, because on the night, we were one of three brands still trending on YouTube. 2 days later, we got almost 90,000 new Instagram followers that day. Not Instagram, but overall social followers. And we had an enormous press coverage and trend. And it was a massive success for us. So you can find it. Okay, so let's go back, and then I'm gonna wrap up with what do the best brands do? What do the best brands do? So one, change our perception of the world, right? What do we offer the world? Well, we offer a platform where people can change their lives and grab their opportunities, right? And that's how we focus our storytelling. Two, the best brands aren't just differentiated, they make a difference, right? We were in Nashville filming these commercials, and we found out that the community that we were filming in had the highest engagement rate in America, and the whole film crew there anyway. So we stayed there for a few days, and we created a documentary about this community. And we raised awareness for these entrepreneurs in the community that are actually making a change, right? And that's the connection, right? Our audience of entrepreneurs, these are incredible social entrepreneurs doing amazing work. And we, you know, spent our money creating this opportunity of awareness that is now nominated for a bunch of awards. They don't just interrupt people, they involve people. Right, everything we do, it's another opportunity to involve our community, whether we're giving away credit to small businesses or telling Women's Day, telling the story of some incredible entrepreneurs, or running a community program that I'll end on. They engage our emotions. You know, this is a great video. I also don't have time to show it, but we've literally filmed our community during the beginning of lockdown and like showed everyone that we're all in it together, right? Again, on YouTube. Making work, and we help people help themselves. We have a podcast called 929, a 9 minutes and 29 second podcast with business tips on growth, where we interview different people, and we're about to hit 1 million listens. We have forums, we have blogs, so we give people tips on how to be better entrepreneurs, better freelancers, and better at Fava, right? So we create the infrastructure for people to grow themselves. So let's go back to the tips. Number eight, be real. And my question that I end a lot of our meetings with is, Vika saying, I'll check out 929. 929 is my baby, and I want you all to check it out, because I love podcasts, and I like trash, a lot of trash podcasts. I can listen to like these really trashy recap, reality TV recap shows. Yeah, I'm like the one guy listening to those things, or like celebrity interviews. And when it comes to like really valuable podcasts that actually provide info that I need for my job, I don't have the attention span to listen to 2 hours for that. So I was thinking, how cool would it be if I can like go pick up lunch and in that time learn something, have an action item? So that's where it was born from. 9 minutes and 29 seconds, you get an action item. I end a lot of meetings with who cares, right? And I say to everyone, who cares? Do you care? Like literally, do you care X? Would you enter this competition? Would you want to watch this video? And if you don't want to do it, no one else wants to do it, right? So let's answer, or someone else may want to do it, but let's answer who that is. And by the way, quick detour number two, when I build content, I have three pillars, right? It's one, who cares? You have to ask yourself very honestly, who's going to care about this? Two, emotion. You have to make people laugh, cry, feel something, right? And three, that's so me. Like you have to see something, or someone has to see something and say, oh, that's so me. Like I relate to that. Or, oh, that's for my mom, my spouse, my friend, and share it, right? So we make sure that every project we do ticks one of these three boxes, and the more the better. Number nine, make trust your Northern Star. You know, for us and for a lot of you, building this trust is the most important thing. And how do you build trust? You really have to focus on the customer journey and look authentically at your audience and tell the story that will get there, right? So I know I just said a lot of words that mean nothing, but everything that I've said in the past, it's all a journey on building trust from the product, from the marketing mix, and from the stories that we're telling. Target on belonging. And this is where we're going to end quickly, but you know, marketers up until, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, the focus has always been on what you can gain, right? Use this product to gain that. But audiences don't want that anymore. Yes, you have to convey that, but they want to feel like they belong to something bigger. Right? Look at Spotify. You know, it's not about listening to music. It's about having pop music be your top 80% of music you've listened to in the year, and you are a pop music aficionado, and you belong to a mega fan of Mumford & Sons. I don't know, whatever it is. Like, you belong to something, right? Airbnb, their tagline is literally belong. Is that what it is? Belong somewhere? Belong? And, you know, it's not necessarily about rent this place at good prices where you want. No, it's about belonging to a community. And very, very quickly, when the way Fiverr approaches belonging is we have a community model called the Snowflake model. We have a full-time employee that works with volunteers, and those volunteers recruit other volunteers to build a massive, massive global community of very invested freelancers and businesses. So here's just an example of that. So we have this sort of commitment curve where we'll start with these volunteers sharing bits of content. Come to this event, look what I read about Fiverr, right? It goes into people attending these events. They're curious, they want to hear. You know, we get thousands of attendees at events in a month. To one-on-one meetings. So these community team leaders or employees will call everyone that attends and say, how can we help you? Are you a freelancer? And it's not about selling ourselves at all. It's about how can we help you, right? Can we connect you with other freelancers? They go from that to moving others, right? Inviting friends, bringing other people into these events. Helps with events, that's one step higher, right? I actually want to get involved. I want to help you run an event. I want to run an event. And we had some guy in Singapore who wants to run an event. And we don't have any employees at Singapore. This guy's run an event for like thousands of people because he got involved. Lead an event, right? Actually leading, escalating. Yeah, we'll go into that another time. And then actually becoming a leader. And then number 11, oh, I lied, that wasn't the end. And Joe, I promise you, this is it. Keep interested and growing. And I don't have to tell this to anyone here because you're all doing that right now, right? You belong to a group of marketers that learn from each other and you're taking time to invest. So just keep growing, keep learning. You never know enough. You can learn from everyone and be inspired. Here's a few places to do that. You know, you got the marketing meetup. Sorry for the blatant self-promotion, as if this presentation wasn't enough, but you know, Fiverr has an e-learning platform that you can learn from. Zest is a great, it's just great content, curated content for marketers. So, you know, it's free. You sign up and you get like top articles that's relevant for you. Booklets, you know, read a book in a few minutes if you don't have time. They sum it up and you can kind of like get into it, but stay inspired even if you don't have time. Mentor lists, it's based on Twitter. These are people that have agreed to be mentors. So you go onto this website, you find people that you can relate to, and they've already opened for being mentors, so you can just match someone. Really good emails, just a list of really good emails, right? Stay inspired, see what works, see what people are doing. Muesli is a great like design inspiration, and thank you very much for your time. I'm sorry I didn't leave enough time, but you know, the bottom line is I've learned a lot, and we've had our own journey, and you all go through your journeys. I hope like those few things that I've learned and have helped form me as a marketer, you can take it and apply it to your businesses. So I'll stop sharing my screen now.
Love it, mate. Thank you so much. That was unreal. And it was quite touching to sort of think that you've had this opportunity to look back on these past 9 years and sort of say these were the moments. I love this comment from Laura, who says, thank you for your openness and authenticity. It's been really enjoyable to hear your story. And I think that's summing up some of the comments coming through already. We've got about 4 minutes for some questions, and you've already touched on a bunch, so we've actually probably gone through more questions than we'd usually go through in a session. So you've done well to integrate it into the talk there, my friend, so thank you so much. But let's get through a few more as we've got the opportunity.
I'll try to do them quick.
Sounds good. By the way, you know, I started today's presentation by saying, if you've learned one thing, I think there's going to be like 10 or 12 or 15 things that people have learned on all this. So, mate, absolutely smashed it. So first question comes from Alex. And Alex speaks about how do you view the ratio of importance between attracting new customers and retaining existing customers? Was there a point in your journey where the latter began to outweigh the former? And how did you know when that point had come?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, yes. We focused initially on bringing new users, right? That was like what our investors wanted to see, what we wanted to see. It's our proof of that what we're doing works. It was always a focus until maybe 4 or 5 years ago when we started to say, okay, now we have to actually keep these people and we have to actually make sure. And now what's more important? I don't want to say one's more important than another, but let's say this, they both have equally sized teams and retention is just as important a metric as how many first-time buyers we get on the platform. So it wasn't initially what we started with. And actually when I consult with companies and help entrepreneurs, you know, I try to think about the full funnel and you know, now bring perspective into it and try to focus on all of that to begin with.
Absolutely. And did you find that challenging? So, you know, you have to market to both buyers and sellers. So you have to be bringing more sellers into the platform and you're gonna have to bring buyers in to buy from those sellers. Like, speaking about like marketing to different audiences at the same time with like presumably two different messages, how does that work and has that been a challenge throughout the journey?
So let me try like wrap this up from things that I've said. The Doers campaign in Doers We Trust, that was our first attempt at like unifying that messaging. It's not about buyers and sellers, it's about what they have in common, which is the act of doing, right? That was our first stage of kind of like talking to everyone. It is difficult. There is a theory that if you focus on supply, it will bring demand, and I've seen it work. And when I talk about running like a hamster, but that's what we were doing. We were focusing on sellers and we were relying on virality to bring the buyers and we were focusing on sellers. But sellers brought sellers. And we haven't spent anything on seller acquisition in the past. I don't think ever. I mean, it was always organic sort of stuff. We were speaking at events and that, but we weren't ever spending money. So we've done very little to do it, but we have made it a focus.
I love that.
Yeah.
Awesome. And there's a lovely comment here from Shana who says, thank you for an amazing presentation. Not only did you share some invaluable advice, but it reaffirmed my love for marketing and branding. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure. And you know what? This is something I deal with. Like, you know, you can't work in marketing and then not see all the like BS of the world, right? Like everything you see, you have these glasses on you now. Like everything is just, you know, marketing. So it's hard to balance that. And my answer is authenticity, right? And if you give me 1 minute, like I'll give you an example. We had, you know, COVID hit and I had an opportunity to distribute masks before just when they were coming back into the market, masks, like we could brand masks and hand them out at train stations. And I thought, great, what an opportunity. And then I thought, why is Fiverr the one that's doing this, right? What has it got to do with Fiverr, with us? Why is that authentic to who we are and what we're saying? And so we didn't do it. So I think you have to stay authentic as a brand. And when I talk about trust and building that trust, it pays off. And we always see that.
Yeah. I love that. I love that so much. Right. I'm going to call it here because not because there aren't questions open, but because we've reached our time and I want to respect both you, Liron, and also everyone that's taken the time to tune in today. Sure. So, mate, thank you so much for that amazing presentation. Like, it's just so, so interesting, you know, and I'd love to spend a little bit more time on it. So maybe we figure out a way to do that and even if it's a chat between us. But also the challenge for everyone watching in now is to send Liron's social media channels on Meltdown for the rest of time. So find him on LinkedIn, find Fiverr. I'd love some comments coming in earlier where people are like, I've actually had my perception changed here. I'm now going to go check it out, which is wicked. And that's all about humanization of brands as well, which I think is really, really interesting.
Yeah. And just start reading about marketing to Gen Z and you're going to really understand like how important that is.
That's it.
I can share some really fascinating articles.
100%. Love it. Right. So thank you all so much for tuning in. Thank you so much, Leon, for an amazing session. Do come back next week, another webinar, 8:30. More opportunities to meet one another, more opportunities to learn stuff, more opportunities just to be a little bit kind. So thank you all so much. Have a lovely, lovely day.
Thank you very much.
And yeah, take care of yourself. Right. Cheers. Take care.
Bye.